Wendy, here's a band that you told me years ago, keep an eye on these guys, they're going to be big. And I went, I don't think so. But it turns out you were right. Rob Sheffield, Rolling Stone columnist, best-selling author, has put together a great book, Dreaming the Beatles, The Love Story of One Band and the Whole World. How are you, Rob? Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. Great to be here. Great to talk to you.
Rob, here's a quote from Mashable. They say, and I quote, "This is the best book about the Beatles ever written." That's some pretty lofty praise for you.
Because there are a million Beatles books.
Thank you. That's very kind.
Yeah.
Rob is a columnist, best-selling author, works with Rolling Stone. And I have to tell you this right now. We all love the Beatles. We all grew up with the Beatles. What amazes me is young kids today loving the Beatles. There aren't a lot of bands where we can listen with our parents and like the same music. We have such an emotional connection to this band.
It's really amazing. It just keeps going on. You know, I was a little kid in the 70s, and my sisters and I loved the Beatles, and our parents used to joke, you know, that band broke up, right? You know, that band doesn't exist anymore. Now my sisters have their little kids, and their little kids love the Beatles.
All right, this is the weird thing is, you know, Guitar Hero can save the life of kids where they actually love classic rock and roll, but there's a whole Beatles catalog of Guitar Hero, and kids are eating it up.
Yeah, my little niece, she always says, I want to sing the boat, and that means Yellow Submarine.
Oh, very nice. All right, so we've established the fact that there's countless books about the band, about the Beatles. What new angle did you take? What did you write about that nobody else has before?
Well, I wanted to write about the Beatles not as something that happened in the 60s a long time ago, but something that just keeps happening and keeps going on. And that's the weirdest thing about the Beatles to me, is that they're still so alive and present in our world. You're definitely going to hear their music somewhere today. You're going to see somebody wearing their T-shirt, probably somebody who wasn't born when they broke up. Just the fact that the Beatles are still part of our world now is such a miracle.
And it amazes me at some of the people that say the Beatles inspired me, like some rap artists, you know, people that you wouldn't expect even knew who the Beatles were.
Yes, it's amazing how it just keeps happening. You know, Jay-Z released an album just last week where he said, yeah, I'm like raging through Liverpool like I'm one of the Beatles. It never stops.
All right, so I don't know if there is a correct answer to this, but you tell me. Why is what you said true? What were they doing that's so different from so many other bands over the years that just makes their ability to stay relevant last for decades?
I think something you hear in their music that really comes across is how close they were, and how during the period where they were friends, they were almost reading each other's minds. So just they kind of symbolize friendship for a lot of us. The idea that these boys found each other in this nowhere town in England, in Liverpool, and that they just grouped together and took on the world, and that they were so loyal to each other. And that's really something beautiful that comes out when you hear their voices, when you hear how they sing together. These guys, they really loved being Beatles together. They kind of felt sorry for everybody else because they were having so much fun being the Beatles.
I get really annoyed when people blame Yoko Ono for the breakup. They were heading in that direction. My question to you is, if they were all still alive today, do you think they would regroup?
Absolutely. I totally think they would have. They found a way to do everything for the first time that other bands hadn't figured out to do, so they would have figured out a way to do this. I mean, they kind of invented breaking up, so naturally I think they would have invented getting back together. But it's weird how John and Paul, that friendship that really followed them around and has kept following them around their whole life. So when Paul plays live now, and he's such a fantastic live performer, but he does something for George, and he does A Day in the Life for John, and he does all these tributes. They're all still part of his life and part of our life.
Our guest is Rob Sheffield. His book is called Dreaming the Beatles, The Love Story of One Band and the Whole World. Here's the ultimate what-if question, Rob. What if the Beatles had never existed or been discovered? I mean, the odds of you, no matter how great your band is, the odds of you hitting a point where everybody knows who you are and enjoys your music, it's a million to one shot. So what if they wouldn't have gotten that shot? How would the world be different, do you think?
Unbelievable. It's hard to even imagine, because the Beatles, they really invented the idea of not just music, but the idea of young creative artists sort of doing something different every time out and not repeating what they did last year. So, you know, these days, even when it's somebody really young like Taylor Swift or Harry Styles, when they they make a record every year and they want it to be really different from what they did last year. They want to keep progressing and evolving. And that's something that the Beatles really, really brought to our culture, the idea that you could be free to do that.
I don't know how many times you've been involved in the argument, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, because I have a neighbor, Jack, that we always talk about. I think the Rolling Stones were, it's so hard to say better, but different. They just, I felt like they weren't as formulaic as the Beatles were. But then, as Bill always points out to me, the time frame that the Beatles were together and the hits that came out in that time, you got to give it to the Beatles.
Oh, absolutely. The Rolling Stones, they did their best work after they'd been really copying the Beatles for a while, and they were great at copying the Beatles. I loved the 60s Stones, but John Lennon had this funny quote. He said, every time you listen to a Beatles record, then you listen to the Stones record they made 2 months later. Everything we did, they did it 2 months later. Kind of true.
What about this one, Rob? The Beatles or Dexy's Midnight Runners? It's hard, isn't it?
That's a hard pick.
That's
one. I love that Dexy's Midnight Runner.
Rob Sheffield is a columnist with Rolling Stone and author. And your first book, Love is a Mixtape, or your last book, I should say. And now Dreaming the Beatles, the love story of one band and the whole world. It came out on June 19th. It's out and about wherever books are sold. Did you see the video of James Corden with Paul McCartney? Because I keep thinking, you know, when James first started this, did he ever think in a million years he'd be sitting there with Sir Paul?
Unbelievable. But also, I mean, part of what makes that video so moving is, you know, could Paul have even pictured that someday he'd go back to this, you know, this town and this street that would have been totally forgotten, Penny Lane, except he wrote a beautiful song about it. And you could tell it really meant a lot to Paul that he could just pop into a pub in Liverpool, and that you could tell that he's still a Beatle fan as much as any of us.
What's your favorite Beatles song, and can you pinpoint it? Because it's really hard to pick just one.
It's really hard to pick just one, but if I have to pick one off the top of my head, the one I've been listening to today is If I Fell, which is just John and Paul harmonizing about that one's a little sad. So you know what? I'm going to say Drive My Car. That one is so fun and
much
so happy.
Happier.
You can hear all of them just really showing off.
We had
even Ringo with the cowbell. I love Ringo.
Ringo is kicking ass, man. He looks so good, and he's there with his all-star band touring with his son. I mean, he's doing great. And everybody
and
made fun of him.
So great. That's what cracks me. I just saw him live, and I thought, this guy is 78 years old, and every minute of the show that he can, he's up and dancing. If he's not behind the drum kit, he's up doing the boogaloo, and I don't know why I'd be surprised that the drummer is such a great dancer, but yeah, Ringo can light up a room.
He knows what he's doing. Rob Sheffield's our guest. His book, Dreaming the Beatles, the love story of one band and the whole world, is available right now. We'll take a quick break and then continue our discussion next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. Beatles. Can we get back to Beatles?
Ready, Wendy.
We're talking to Rob Sheffield, Dreaming the Beatles, the love story of one band and the whole world. Rob, we were talking about trying to pinpoint a favorite song. Bill, do you have a favorite Beatles song?
Eleanor Rigby.
Seriously?
Yeah, I know it's a little sad, but boy, does that song move me. I love that
it's
song.
It's beautiful.
It is pretty nice.
It's beautiful.
And I like In My Life, that was actually played at our wedding with a cello, and it was really beautiful. That, to me, is a beautiful, beautiful song.
Yeah. They did all right. They had a couple of hits, didn't they, Rob? I'm trying to remember the other one. They had another song.
They did okay. I think they might have staying power. In My Life is another one where Ringo is so great. If you hear that song, and you're just blown away by the vocal, but if you just listen to Ringo, he's really anchoring it and really providing the emotional support that they need to do all the crazy stuff that they did. They could do it because they knew they had Ringo in their corner.
Why did he get all the bad rap? Please explain this.
I think it's just a Ringo. He's so funny and so charming and so modest. So people tended to look at him as the clown of the group. But as John Lennon always said, Ringo was a star in Liverpool before he ever joined the Beatles. He had his own band. He had his own name on his bass drum. And John always said, Ringo would have made it without the Beatles. We wouldn't have made it without him.
Rob, let's talk for a second about Pete Best. And for people who don't know, Pete Best is what they call the fifth Beatle. He's the one who just missed the cut, right? So if you're Pete Best, do you walk around your whole life thinking about that every day? Because I would.
Poor Pete Best. It's a rough gig. He was the guy, they let him play drums because he had the van.
Yeah. Yep. But do you, like...
Drummers are always getting the rough deal.
I know.
But if you're him, like, is that your first thought in the morning and your last thought at night? I was this close to being a Beatle. How do you move on from that?
It can't be an easy way to go. He put out an album once that he called Best of the Beatles, and the lawyers had to shut that down, but... Just a funny title. I hope he at least had some sort of sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
What I do not have the book because one of my teenage boys stole it and is reading it now. Dreaming the Beatles. It's out and about at your favorite bookstore. Amazon, I believe, you can find it as well. What is something that we will learn from your book that we didn't know about the Beatles?
It's amazing because they had so many crazy ideas that turned into their records, but they had so many more crazy ideas that we never heard about. And one that really blew my mind that nobody knew till a few years ago was that the Beatles, they had a meeting with Stanley Kubrick in 1969 about making a movie version of Lord of the Rings.
What?
So,
whoa.
So Paul was going to play Frodo, and John was going to play Gollum, and Ringo was going to be Sam, and of course, George was going to be Gandalf the Wizard. But
there's no
can you imagine how crazy that would have been, Lord of the Rings starring the Beatles?
There's no polite way to say this, Rob, but I'll just say it anyway. That would have been awful. You know that, right? That would have been horrendously bad.
It would have been so bad. It would have been comedy gold, really.
Yeah. What do you think of their cinematic careers? I mean, Hard Day's Night gets the biggest props, but what about the rest of it?
You know, my favorite, the one that's really underrated, because it was the first one I ever saw, was Help.
Yeah.
And that's one, the Beatles, they didn't love that movie after they made it. They were a little embarrassed about it. They always said it was more like a cartoon, and John used maybe some stronger language to describe it. But to me, that was the first time I ever saw the Beatles or heard the Beatles. And I just thought they were the funniest thing I'd ever seen. And I couldn't believe, especially when they were singing all these sad songs, I couldn't believe all these men are in a room sharing their feelings together. It's really funny that they could be so comic and so wild and madcap in that movie running down the street. But then they also do these really serious personal songs.
Rob, can you comment on this? I've heard this story for years that when they were in their heyday, like when they were playing Shea Stadium in New York, the people who went to the shows couldn't hear a word of what they sung. All they heard was screaming. Is that true or not true?
Yes. And the Beatles couldn't hear anything either. The Beatles, they could not hear a note that they were singing or a note that they were playing because the scream was too loud. And it's funny that it was only when they made that wonderful movie a couple of years ago, the Ron Howard documentary about the touring years.
Yeah.
That they went back and like cleaned up the concert footage. You could actually hear what the Beatles were playing under all the screens. And it turned out they were playing great. They were playing absolutely top notch, even though they couldn't hear a single note.
Wow.
Well, I am so thankful that kids today love the Beatles because really I like classic rock and roll to live on. And really, I mean, you think back, Chuck Berry did a great job, but kids aren't like really into that. It's the Beatles that inspire all of us, and that the Beatles are in our hearts, that's for sure.
Absolutely. My niece, she plays guitar. She's 16. She plays guitar, of course, because of Taylor Swift, as so many teenage girls do now. And she was playing the song for me over Christmas. She said, "Hey, Uncle, check this out." She starts playing the song. I said, "Huh, I think I know that one. It was Blackbird."
That's some good finger picking on that, too. So kudos to her.
It is.
And Rob, I want to quickly mention one of your other books, Talking to Girls, about Duran Duran. I think Duran Duran is one of the most underrated bands of our lifetime. I think those guys are great.
I would completely agree. They're great. They're still great. They made an album a couple of years ago that was one of their best. They're still great live. They talk about, we're talking about the Beatles at Shea Stadium. Talk about a band that's very used to hearing females scream.
Yeah, that would be them.
They are not intimidated by that at all.
They had some great hair. Still
do. Oh, yeah. Rob Sheffield is our guest, Rolling Stone columnist, best-selling author. The book we're talking about is Dreaming the Beatles, the love story of one band and the whole world. Rob, great to meet you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. So great to talk to you guys.
And social media, you're on Twitter, Rob Sheff, at Rob Sheff, and your website, robsheffield.com, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Peace and love. Peace and love.
Thank you so much. Peace and love.
A quick break, some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.